Couple announcements this morning. Kids Zone. There'll be no Kids Zone today or next week, but Kids Zone will start back up the week after next. Prayer night, there'll be no prayer night this week, but prayer night will start up on the 6th of January. I encourage you to continue to pray in your homes, to continue to pray together with your families. Now we have a video announcement.
Good morning. This is an opportunity for us to present a love offering to the pastoral staff and the staff ministry leaders. And typically we'd be doing this on the platform. And this is just not the way that we can do it now. Many of us are attending virtually. And then some of the staff are on vacation. But this is a time that we do want to express our thanks and appreciation to our leadership. They've done a terrific job in the midst of this very challenging time. I really appreciate Pastor Tony for his guidance and leadership of our church and the ministry team, as well as his great sermons and the love that he has for the community around us. For Reggie, I appreciate him because he just joined us at the beginning of this COVID virus adventure, and he is continued, though, to encourage us to have a ministry among the community and the compassion ministries that we have. For Timothy, thank you so much for what you've been doing in terms of worship, guiding us in worship, leading the worship team, and then also being responsible for streaming the services and the prayer meetings to our homes. For Amanda, thank you for your love and care for our youth, the youth team, and seeking to have them to come to know the Lord Jesus, as well as to help them to grow in their lives. Thank you also for Mike, for his newly joining us, and for him stepping into so many different parts of our church and the ministry that we have. We really do appreciate you. Thank you very much. The checks are not in the mail. They're either going to be in your paycheck or in your mailbox. Thank you very much. Good morning.
Thank you. On behalf of the staff, I would like to say thank you to each one of you for your generosity and your love that you've expressed. When we moved to Fayetteville, into our house there, it was already partially furnished. It was furnished enough to be comfortable, and the kitchen cupboards were full of stuff. This last November, last month, we went back to the West Coast to the Seattle area and packed up all of our things that had been in storage for 10 years, well, almost, and shipped them back out here. And what did we get? Two houses full of stuff in one house. We spent our time, well, Gretchen spent her time sorting through the old things and the new things, deciding what to keep and what we can't keep. Out with the old and in with the new. As we approach New Year's, many people take that attitude. What do we want to get rid of from our past? And what do we want to keep or bring into our lives in the future? When we were in Ethiopia, we had more chances. In Ethiopia, we celebrated three New Years. The Ethiopian New Year, sometime in September. Our New Year on January 1st, and then because we had a Chinese ministry, we celebrated Chinese New Year at the end of February or the beginning of March. Three chances to start over again. Doesn't work. Many people look at New Year's as a time of new beginnings. More people buy memberships in gymnasiums and health spas in January than any other time in the year. More people start on diets in January. And they do many other things. But they tell us that 80% of the New Year's resolutions have failed by the second week in February. Research says that it takes 66 days to build a new habit. That's a consistent 66 days. You can't break the chain or you have to start all over again. And I can tell you from experience, sometimes it takes a lot longer than that. Father, as we look at new beginnings, as we come to this time of the new year, speak to our hearts. Place your words in my mouth. Speak to those that are here and those that are online. Touch their hearts. And we thank you in Jesus' name. In Ephesians, Paul tells us about three of the new things that we can have that lasts forever. The first one is a new life. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, we read, "Once we were dead in our disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He's the spirit that at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we are subject to God's anger, just like everybody else. But God is so rich in mercy, and He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved." We see here Paul tells us that we were dead in our sins, but Christ has given us a new life. Adam, as the representative of the human race, sinned. And by that sin, man fell, and all of creation fell with him. But we can't blame it all on Adam. For each of us sins. Paul tells us in Romans 3:23, "For everyone has sinned." We all fall short of God's glorious standard. But those are, we look at them as just little sins. They hardly count. But you know, if you only sinned one time a day, I don't know, I haven't gotten to that point yet. But if you only sinned one time a day, over your lifetime, how many times would you have sinned? In the note sheet, there's the little place for you to work that out. 27,760 for me today. But it only takes one sin to be guilty. It only takes the violation of one law to be guilty under the law and deserving of punishment. By falling short of God's standard, we're separated from Him. We are dead in our trespasses and sins. But by God's mercy, His unmerited favor, He chooses to save us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sins on the cross while we were still disobedient in our sins. He died that we might have a new life. He gave His life for our lives. God saves us by His grace. All we need to do is place our trust, our faith in Him. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, Paul says, God saved you by His grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. How many of you got a gift on Friday? Friday was Christmas. How many of you turned down receiving a gift? You didn't want it. God offers us a gift of eternal life. Do we turn it down? No matter how many sins we've sinned, Jesus forgives them all, our past, our present, and our future. The question is, do we choose to give up our bondage to sin and death and to receive the new life through Jesus Christ? All it takes is a simple prayer. Father, I realize I'm a sinner. I repent of my sin, and I ask Jesus Christ to be my Savior. I place my trust, my faith in You. If we do that, or if we've done that in the past, Jesus Christ has freed us from the penalty of our sins. The second thing we see is that we have a new walk, a new way of life. In Ephesians chapter 10, we read, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago." Because of the fall, man is controlled by the old nature, but Christ sets us free from that power of sin. We have a new life. We are God's masterpiece. Imagine going into the studio of Leonardo da Vinci. And there on the pulpit is the Mona Lisa, half finished. He's still working on her. His greatest masterpiece. In the same way, God is making us a masterpiece, each one of us. He's just not done yet. He's still working on us. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus, created to do good works, which He has planned out for us already. In one place it says, even before the creation of the world, He has shaped us for His purpose. The word shape is an acronym. It stands for what God has done for us to prepare us for His ministry that He wants us to do. S stands for spiritual gifts. Each Christian has one or more spiritual gifts. Nobody has them all. And there is no spiritual gift that everybody has. But the gifts are given so that we might build up the church and build up one another. Heart. The H stands for heart. What are we really passionate about? Is it children and children's ministry? Is it music? Is it discipling? Is it evangelism? A stands for abilities. Abilities are those things that we can do. I can't play the piano like she did this morning. She has an ability to play. It's not a spiritual gift, but it's an ability. I have an ability with mathematics. Love math. But not everybody does. We use our abilities and our spiritual gifts to minister. Personality. The P stands for personality. Are you an extrovert or an introvert or somewhere in the middle? Are you logical or intuitive? Now, one is not any better than the other, but it's the way God has shaped you and formed you and how you work with and deal with others, how you interface with others. And E stands for experience. What experiences have we had that we can use to help in our ministry? I have cancer. In 2008, I was diagnosed with cancer, and it slowed me down enough that in 2010, I retired, and in 2011, we went to Africa. God used it in a wonderful way. And I use that experience to minister to people who have been diagnosed with cancer or have had loved ones diagnosed with cancer. I can comfort them because I've been through it. Paul tells us that God shaped or formed him from his mother's womb for his calling as a tent maker and as the apostle to the Gentiles. So God shapes each one of us for his calling for us. I want to be clear, that calling is not totally within the church. That calling may be as a teacher or a doctor, a carpenter or an electrician, an engineer, a pastor. Washing dishes, sweeping floors. That calling is what God has called us to do 24/7 at our homes, on our work, in our neighborhoods, and in our churches. The greatest calling that you can have is the calling that God has called you to. There is no higher calling than the one he has called you to. In Ephesians 4, verses 21 to 24, Paul tells us that it's up to us. He tells us that we need to take off the old and put on the new. We need to take off the old way of living based upon this world. And we need to put on the new way of living following Jesus Christ. It's a choice. And what do we choose? Do we choose the old way of life based on the world or the new way of life based on Jesus Christ? If we choose Jesus, he frees us from the power of sin as we walk beside him. Jesus is not only concerned about our spiritual health, but also our emotional and physical health. He doesn't just set us free from our sins, he heals our emotional and physical diseases. We were gone most of the month of November. We were south of Seattle, packing up our house, staying in a hotel. The hotel was wonderful. The people were delightful. I've never heard so many people wish, "Have a blessed day." But because of COVID, they only cleaned the rooms once a week. So on Monday, while we were out, the housekeeper came in, and they changed the sheets, and they cleaned the room, and they changed the towels, and all the things you think of, and they left a little note. Gretchen's got that note over in her Bible. It says, Psalm 103, my favorite verses, God bless. Can you imagine returning back to your hotel room and finding something like that? Of course, we had to look it up to see what Psalm 103 said. And it said, Psalm 103, verse 3, he forgives all my sins and he heals all my diseases. It was that Friday I tested positive for COVID, and we had to stay an extra week. And a week later, we were cleared and were able to come home. I believe that Jesus can and does heal. I've seen spectacular healings. I've seen simple healings. But just as Paul with his thorn in the flesh, or me with my cancer, sometimes God chooses not to heal, but to use that to his glory. And finally, we see we have a new family. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, we read, "So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together, we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself." As an engineer, I've set many a cornerstone. It's the cornerstone that governs the building. It's where it starts, with Christ Jesus. One day he'll take us from this old world to a new citizenship, a new family, and a home in heaven where we will be with him. We see we are members of his kingdom. Now, when we were in Ethiopia, both Gretchen and I carried a little card, a residency card. It gave us many of the rights and privileges of an Ethiopian citizen. We could hold a job. We could pay taxes. We could get a discount on Ethiopian Airlines. That was the best part. But we also carried our U.S. passports. And these attested to the fact that we were citizens of the United States of America and had the full rights and privileges of that citizenship. As Christians, we are citizens of God's heavenly kingdom and have the full rights and privileges of that kingdom. Do we live like it? Or do we live like some exile? Doesn't know where he belongs. We are members of God's family. I grew up in a little town across the water from Seattle. And everybody knew who I was. That's Roy Heaton's boy. Yeah, that's Al Heaton's grandson. What's his name? They knew my family. The first day in school, I remember entering the school, first grade, with my sisters who were in kindergarten and preschool, and having this big, tall man look at us and say, "You're the Heatons. Now, what are your names?" He taught my father. His wife taught me and taught both my father and mother. But now I am a member of another family. And each one that knows Christ as his Savior is a member of the family of God, along with all of the other God-fearing people around the world. all of the languages and nations, all of the cultures and peoples. If they know Jesus Christ, we are brothers and sisters with Christ Himself. But are we acting in a way of the members of that family? Do people recognize us as part of that family? Well, that's Al Heaton's grandson. Yeah, that's Christ's son or Christ's brother. He's a Christian. Do people say that about us? We are also members of God's household. In John 14, John records Jesus saying that one day He will come back again and take us unto Himself. That He will take us home to heaven, where we will dwell in God's mansion. There are many rooms. I imagine my room is already designated and already set up. In Ephesians, Paul tells us that we are already in the heavenlies, sitting beside God in Jesus Christ. Do we choose to live like the world around us lives, instead of living like members of God's kingdom, like members of God's family, like members of God's household? The question is, one day He'll return and He'll remove us from the presence of sin, where we'll live with Him forevermore. When we place our trust and faith in Jesus Christ, He removes the power of sin over us. No. He removes the penalty of sin over us. We are no longer guilty under the sin. He has taken that guilt. When we choose to follow Him, He removes the power of sin. And one day He'll remove us from the very presence of sin. What choice do you make this morning? What of the old way will you give up or set aside? And what of the new way will you start? I was helping Gretchen finish out the card. If you look at the card, the note card on the back, there are two lines. One says, out with the old. Write in something there. Not just dealing with church, but dealing with your life. What do you want to give up this year? And in with the new. What do you want to bring into your life that would bring you closer to Jesus Christ? Remember, it takes 66 days consecutive to form a new habit. So if it's something that you want to do, stick to it. Stick to it. Father, I thank You for this word this morning. I pray that you would take it and use it in our hearts. Start with my heart. What do I want to give up? And what do I want to bring new into my life that will draw me closer to you? Father, bless each one here this morning as you speak to their hearts, as you touch their lives. We can be freed from the power of sin, or the penalty of sin. We can be free from the power of sin. And we can be free from the presence of sin. Because you have chosen to bring us salvation. We thank you. Amen.
All right, let's just kind of stay where we're at.